This sermon series takes lessons from the life of Joseph. There are many parallels between his life and the ministry of Jesus, and therefore between his life and ours as followers of Jesus. It is entitled, Finding Purpose When Life Doesn't Make Sense. This audio session is meant for your preparation only, not for any other use. Remember to add your personal illustrations and stories as you think best. Or have a look at the transcripts for suggested places for illustrations. Please remember to report back once you have preached between 4 to 6 sermons. Pastor, we are grateful and pleased that you are part of this pastor's circle and that you are going to preach for life change.
How will you play the game? We all face temptation, but God provides a way out, and we need to flee. We must choose to respond with godly character, irrespective of the consequences, trusting that God is at work in our lives. By way of introduction, let's talk about choices. We all make choices each and every day, what we eat for breakfast, what we'll wear, what we do with our time, and perhaps also choices that relate to our future, like what we do with our money or how much debt we get into. Some of these choices seem ordinary, but both big and small decisions can lead our lives off track. Perhaps the most important choices we make relate to the way we deal with temptation, how we respond in situations where our beliefs are tested and our commitment is tested. Although temptation is not sin in and of itself, our response to the temptation that come our way is revealing. Do we allow these temptations space in our thoughts? Do we allow our hearts to wander? How we deal with temptation may be an important defining point in our lives. It was certainly a pivotal point in the life of Joseph. If we are to succeed in life, we are called to take responsibility, choose wisely, and to take action. We are called to flee temptation. But only you can decide how you're going to play this. Firstly, we see our choices can lead to life or death. Temptation is a common experience for all of us. We are all tempted. How we deal with these times of temptation will define the way in which God uses us. In Genesis 39:6, we read about Joseph facing sexual temptation. The text says, "Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.' She meant business. I mean, there's nothing subtle about what she desired." This is a hard message to miss and a difficult situation for a young man to be in. Like with every temptation common to man, Joseph is faced with this great opportunity, which is also this enormous challenge to his character. Joseph's situation certainly left him wide open to temptation. If you look at all the factors that are at play, he's isolated, he's away from his family and friends. That means there's no support. It also means there's no accountability. Hey, who's ever going to know? What difference will it make? Not only that, but Joseph was probably lonely. He was likely discouraged. Why wouldn't he be after all he had gone through? Perhaps even felt a little abandoned. That's when temptation is strongest. When we feel like we're on our own, and if our needs are going to be met, we'll have to do it ourselves. Additionally, Joseph seems caring, compassionate, and sensitive. These may have been the qualities that drew Potiphar's wife to him. Dr. Charles Stanley delivered a message once about decision-making. He was saying there are certain situations where you ought never to make a big life decision, and he used the acrostic HALT, H-A-L-T. He said the H stands for hungry, the A is angry, the L is lonely, and the T is tired. If you're in any one or more of those things, it's not a good time to be making a major life decision. And perhaps that's helpful for you to remember when you face temptation and are needing to make a big decision. It's important to become a student of yourself and analyze when you are most vulnerable, when you are most likely to make a bad decision, when you are most likely to give in to temptation. Understanding when you are weak is an important defense. But you know that when temptation comes, how we respond in the end is always up to us. We're in the middle of studying how Joseph was tempted, and so much of Joseph's life really was out of his control. So many of his circumstances were decided by others. But yet he did have a few choices. Most of all, it was totally up to him to choose how he would respond to this temptation, how he was going to play the game. How we respond to temptation is always up to us. Secondly, a strategy against temptation. We're going to see with Joseph that he didn't just say no to the temptation, but he also knew exactly why he did not want to entertain this type of betrayal. Genesis 39:8 shows us Joseph's response in this tempting situation. It says, "But he refused. With me in charge," he told Potiphar's wife, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he entrusted to my care." An important thing we want to notice is that Joseph said no, but he didn't just say no, he knew why. In fact, Joseph says in verse 9, "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife." You see, Joseph focused on what he had rather than what he could not have. Joseph somehow was able to keep his eye on all he had, on all the trust and responsibility that Potiphar had given him, rather on what he couldn't have. The end of verse 9 says, "How then could I do such a wicked thing against God?" This is so important that Joseph recognized that all sin is ultimately against God. Yes, he would be sinning against Potiphar. Yes, he would be sinning against Potiphar's wife. But ultimately, all sin is against God. It's anything that we do wrong in his eyes, and he's the one who is most grieved when we do wrong. When we sin, we lose our relational connection with God. Genesis 39:10 says, "And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her." What Joseph does here is so instructive. Not only does he say no, but he begins to build some limits into their relationship. He established clear boundaries. He refused to even be with her. What personal boundaries do you have in this area of sexual temptation? It's harder in this century than it's ever been before. We have greater access and anonymity today than at any other time before. It'll come right into your computer or smartphone. You don't even have to go searching for it. You can just open the wrong email and there'll be images confronting you. And you and I have to make a choice. This kind of temptation is close to home for so many. Joseph, in this relationship with Potiphar's wife, builds in some layers of insulation, some guardrails to keep him from falling off the edge and tumbling into adultery with her. It says he did his best to not be with her. That's pretty difficult when you're a slave and you have to follow orders. But if you can find a way to do that, then so can you and I. Boundaries are not legalism. They are healthy and necessary. Sometimes our boundaries may be tested as these can be inconvenient for us to maintain. Yet one of the reasons we set boundaries is to be above reproach and to honor God in every aspect of our lives. This may lead others to become somewhat irritated with our boundaries. But let's remind ourselves of Ephesians 5:3 that urges us to avoid every hint of sexual immorality. Joseph's actions may have seemed extreme, unlike they were too high, yet we should do everything possible to glorify God by our intent, attitude, and actions. Thirdly, we see God provides a way out of temptation. Let's pick up again with what's happening with Joseph. Well, despite all the effort that Joseph has made, verse 11 says, "One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside." The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how that happened, but I'm guessing that Potiphar's wife probably sent them away. This is clearly a setup on her part. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out. Joseph knew when to resist and when to run. His boundaries enabled him to resist temptation, and his integrity impressed upon him the desire to flee from every opportunity to indulge in sin and self-satisfaction. Paul several times says, "Stand firm, resist, fight the devil, and he will flee from you." But you know what? When he's talking to Timothy about the area of sexual temptation, he doesn't say that at all. He just says, "Flee." Joseph's way out is to flee. Joseph's out, and she's still holding his coat. This is the second time, by the way, that Joseph's coat has gotten him into big trouble with other people. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Verse 13, when she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said, "this Hebrew came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed." And they hear her screaming, and then Potiphar comes home and she tells the story. "This slave that you selected, look what he tried to do to me. He assaulted me." And Potiphar hears this false accusation from his wife. But he believes this. He believes her lies. And as you would expect, he's very angry. And so what does he do? He sends Joseph to prison. What does Joseph get? What does he get for doing the right thing? He gets falsely accused and unjustly imprisoned. It appears that Joseph's fleeing did not bring him freedom, but it brought him bondage. Well, at least that's the way it started. You see, we may not always be applauded for doing what's right. If anything, Joseph's experience teaches us that sometimes, when we stand up for what we believe in, there may be unintended and undeserved consequences. But when temptation arises, we must respond with godly character, irrespective of these consequences. Joseph is hauled down to a foreign country. He's sold as a slave. And now he works hard, he does the right thing, he stays morally pure. And what does he get? He gets prison as his reward. But be reminded that this is still part of God's amazing plan. It's just another detour. Why does God keep allowing, or in some ways even, have a causal role in these detours? Why don't we just hurry up and get from the giving of the dream to the fulfillment of the dream? Why does God allow all the detours? Ultimately, God cares more about the development of the dreamer than he does even about the fulfillment of the dream. God is at work even in this impossible situation. He never stops working. And we know that Joseph's story doesn't end in prison. In the end, the dream he had is fulfilled. His brothers bowed down before him. You see, even our right choices seem to get us into trouble. We should be reminded that God has the final and ultimate say. He is a God of free will, and he desires that we cooperate with his grace in our lives. Temptations are all around us, and each of us will be confronted with temptation that aim to derail our walk with God. Yet in every impossible situation, Joseph's life illustrates the fact that it is possible to flee temptation. God's grace does provide a way out. The way out may not always lead to the outcomes we desire. Joseph's way out initially led to false accusations, a ruined reputation, and unjust imprisonment. But yet he chose to trust in God despite the consequences. You see, despite our circumstances, godly character is profitable and God is still in control. And he does still have a plan. So when temptation comes, what will you do? What will you choose? How will you play the game?